Great, great. So what I wanted to do today is I came across I was reading John Maxwell's book Leadership Gold, and there's just so many lessons in there that I kind of said, well, I'm going to jump on one of these and just kind of work through some of the lessons in there because they are so insightful. It's kind of a summary of a lot of different things that John has learned over the years. And, of course, John Maxwell is known to be one of the best authors out there on leadership principles. And he always gives me added insight into different things. And I think that this one struck me especially well because we talk a lot about time management. And I've done a lot of talks about time management and making sure that you're analyzing where you're spending your time and all those kind of things. But most of us, I like John's take on it. He says, you know, time really isn't something you can manage. And I thought to myself, I said, well, why not? I manage my time all the time. You know, I put my daily tracker, I put my daily activity list, I have my to-do list, I work off of these things. But it's really not, you know, time is time, and that's what he brings up. But let's jump in and talk about what he means by that from a directional perspective and what it can mean for all of us on this call today. Because I think the reality is that we get trapped into, you know, trying to manage hours instead of managing what we're doing in those hours. So he starts by, you know, in this chapter, he starts by talking about Peter Drucker, and some of us know he's one of the most renowned authors on executive management and business, you know, development things, issues, and he's written many great books out there. But one of Peter Drucker's quotes was, "Nothing else distinguishes effective executives," and that's what each and one of you are on this call. You're all executives because you're president, you're CEO of your own Manatech business. So when you look at the word executive, don't think it has to be a corporate structure. It can be your structure, your business, your Manatech business. Nothing else distinguishes effective executives like you as much as their tender, loving care of time. So it's about looking at our time. And time, of course, we always recognize time as an equal opportunity employer. In other words, every one of us gets 24 hours. We get no more, no less. It's now 10:20 today, and I only have, 13 and a half or 13 hours and 40 minutes left of this day that I get to choose what I'm going to accomplish in this day. Everyone gets the same amount, but not everyone gets the same return on their time. And we know that because of the results that people create. There are different people creating different results. And when you look around Manatech, you can clearly see that. We see that when we go to national conventions and when you see it around, you know, you listen to the leadership call and they announce new leaders, new executives, new presidentials, and you can sit back and go, I'm still a regional director. How come I'm not a national director yet? Or how come that person joined after I did and they're already an executive director and I haven't made national? And we look at that in a comparative realm because we're wondering, what do they know that I don't know, or what are they doing that I don't do? And the idea is that it's not that they had any more hours than you had. It's just different choices they're making, right? Because they're getting a different return on their time investment. They're getting a different return on the time that they have. So some of us choose to just stay busy with this business. We love to look at Success Tracker. We love to, you know, read everything new that Manatech puts out there, and we spend 3 hours a day just updating ourselves on every single change in Manatech and every, you know, and watching our Success Tracker, even though it doesn't grow. It just, you know, an extra 10 PV came in this day. And I mean, we do a lot of things to keep us busy, but we're not evaluating what activities we're doing. We might dedicate our time, okay, I'm doing Manatech from 8 till 12 this morning, but are we really evaluating what we're doing within that hour, that time frame? Because it's not just about managing time and blocking it off for Manatech. It's about what are the specific actions to maximize your return. So that's what John says. He says, so it's not really about time management. It's about blocking off time to do so. It's about what are we actually doing. It's about managing your life, managing what activities are you committed to. So manage yourself instead of managing time, because the most precious commodity, and I tell everybody this when I talk to people. It's the most precious commodity that we have on the face of the earth is our time, because it's the only asset that you can't grow. You can grow your income, you can grow your success, you can grow your results, you can grow, everything else has capacity of growth, but time doesn't. And some people go, well, it does. If you take care of your body, you can effectively have more time to live. And I go, well, that's a shot in the dark, too. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to be in a car accident tomorrow or 2 months from now or whatever. But we do know one thing. What I do in this hour, I have total control over. So it's about what we choose to do with that incredibly precious commodity we have. And that doesn't mean that we sit back. I don't want people to start getting nervous about their time they have left on the earth, because that doesn't serve you at all. It's not about getting anxious about anything. It's about just appreciation for what it is. What am I doing in appreciating the value of your time? And so the question becomes for you to be asking, am I getting the best use out of my time? Am I getting the best use out of my time? And how are we rationalizing some of our behaviors to somehow give them credit that, well, I'm growing because I'm reading this book. Well, what book are you reading? Well, you know, this book about ABC or something. And you go, is it a contribution? That's one of the reasons why when people talk to me about, oh, Mary Jo, I just got done reading this book. And I go, well, great. What was the book and what was it about? Oh, it was so invaluable. And I said, really? So how is it changing your life? And they look at me with this really dull look. Like, what do you mean, changing my life? I like to look at it from a perspective, if you're reading a book and it's not changing your life, then it's not a very good book. Because if it's not changing your life, then it's something that's eating up your time that's not moving you forward in life. Does that make sense? And this is what, when I read this chapter, it came to me, that's why I ask people all the time about how is it changing your life? Because our activities that we want to participate in is to maximize the use of our time. So if reading a book is something that we want to do, then we ought to read books that are going to change our lives so that we're maximizing our time. We're maximizing the use of our time to create better results so that we're not reading a book to stay exactly where we are today. It's about reading a book to get off the dime. It's about reading a book to accomplish something we haven't in the past. So we want to continue to be bettering ourselves at every opportunity. And note, too, that when we're talking about this and when John Maxwell's talking about these things, he's not talking about what you choose to do on your vacation or your free time. He's talking about if you're dedicating 8 to 4 or 8 to 5, if you're a full-time manatecker, what do those hours look like for you? Or if you're a two-hour manatecker, what do those hours look like? What are you dedicating the time that you did, that, what are you dedicating in the time that you've dedicated for manatech? What are you dedicating to accomplish? What are your commitments? What are your specific activities within that time frame? So not just slot the time, but decide exactly what those activities are and how am I evaluating to make sure that I'm getting the best use out of my time. And there in his book, he had a great quote in the book Leadership Gold. He had a quote from Charles Bazzano's book, What to Do Between Birth and Death, The Art of Growing Up. I'm going to read this to you. It says, you don't really pay for things with money. You pay for them with time. In 5 years, I'll have put enough away to buy that vacation house we want. Then I'll slow down. That means the house will cost you 5 years, 1/12 of your adult life. Now, that would assume you live to 80, because I assume adult life is like from 18 on, right, or 20 on. Okay, that means the house, the vacation house, your cost of the vacation house is 5 years. Translate the dollar value of the house, car, or anything else into time, and then see if it's still worth it. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because a lot of times when we buy things, we don't think about what they convert to in time. We just look at dollars. What is it going to cost me? How am I going to pay that off? We put it on a credit card and we say it's going to take us 3 years to pay that off, so we put all of our savings into the credit card. So we're really looking at, was that vacation house worth 5 years, 1/12 of my adult life? Wow. That's an intriguing way to evaluate things that we purchase. And I dare say that I've never looked at anything I've purchased that way, but I'm not a big, you know, probably the only asset that I really purchased on debt would be my house. So I don't carry credit card debt, so I don't grapple in that realm. But it's something intriguing for us to look at when we're evaluating purchasing something. Was it worth that? And then start evaluating, you know, are there material assets out there that are really worth 3 or 5 years of my time? I don't know. That's a concept you have to grapple with, but it's a great way of evaluating some of the transactions we're involved in life. And so just to open your eyes to that too. We squander our time when we do things that bring us little or no return. And that's where we're looking. What's the rate of return that I'm getting on the things that I'm doing? And it's really important for us to make sure we understand that. And in reading about rate of return and establishing, you know, are we just staying busy? Are we falling into a mode that we're not making progress, we're just staying busy because we're not looking at the return that we have? And one of the stories that I love so much, I think I might have told it to you guys in the past, it comes out of Sarah Robbins' book, Rock Your Network Marketing Business, because she talks about in there, she talks about the problem with, you know, that how are we taking time to grow our personal and professional, you know, selves? Are we nourishing our souls? Are we fueling our minds? Are we doing these things that are going to create something greater? Or are we just stuck on a hamster wheel? And because we just feel like, well, I'm working really hard. It may not be creating any results in my life. It may even be detracting from our life. But the story that Sarah tells is very much right in alignment with this. And some of you can probably even relate and say, my life is the starving baker. And here's the story as she tells it. Imagine there's a brand new beautiful bakery built right down the road. The aroma of fresh pastries fills the air. This is where hot, delightful treats are served all day long. You go in. This baker is absolutely brilliant. You order your treat and watch as the baker does his thing. It is magnificent watching. He does everything himself. He cleans the tables, tends to the cash register, bakes the goods, and greets the guests. You start to notice that he's surprisingly thin. You begin to think, he's so busy baking for others, he's forgetting to eat. He's starving himself. Are you that starving baker? Most of us are so busy that we fall into the starving baker mode because we never push the button, pause, and take time to feed ourselves. So we want to make sure that we're really looking at what are the activities. And we're running around on that hamster wheel and nothing's getting better and nothing's changing in our life and we're wondering why aren't things changing? Because where's our time being committed to? Just doing the same thing over and over and over again and somewhere we're missing a link. We're missing something. So John kind of says, you know, make that evaluation because we want to be the best leaders we possibly can be. When we squander our time and we just keep busy, busy, busy and without creating results, we not only are hurting ourselves inherently because we're denying ourselves effective productivity in the time that we dedicate, we're not managing our activities properly, but because we're leaders and each one of us on this phone call today, every one of you, in Manatech, because you're the CEO of your own business, and more so in other relationships in your life, whether it's a husband-wife, whether it's a father-daughter or father-children, or it's a mother-children, or it's whatever leadership role you play in your church or in your community. We play many, many leadership roles that we don't even acknowledge. But there are always people looking up to you as a leader, and we are establishing ourselves as a leader, and other people are interfacing with us as such, even though we may not look at ourselves as a leader. So when we're falling short on this, when we're staying busy and squandering our time by being on a hamster wheel, we're absolutely destructive in other people's lives as well. We're hurting the people around us that look up to us, and for whom we're leaders. And that is so clear in Manatech, so very clear. When your leader's on a hamster wheel, if you're going to get on a hamster wheel equivalently. So when you're not producing results as a leader, you've got to start saying, can I get the whip out and get all my people to work harder and be more productive and create great results if I'm not creating results? And sometimes that happens in Manatech. One of the main reasons I see it happen in Manatech is I think people start signing other people up and they fall into the trap of getting into the management mode because all of a sudden they think, oh, I got a brand new business builder, I'm going to have to manage them. And the problem is that they stop signing people up. They stop prospecting. They stop doing the activities that cause them to be productive to start with. And the minute they do that, they now put themselves in a failing leadership role. We lead by example. That's the first and foremost thing we do. So we need to stay in productive activities instead of falling into traps like management mode. And that's why I continue to prospect. I mean, over the weekend, I talked to 3 new people about Manatech. And that's my days off, right? And because it's always in the mode. When the opportunity knocks, I'm right there. I'm sharing my card. I'm talking about things going on in my life. And I think this is one of the beautiful things about youth is that it's to me, it's a very easy thing to share as a lead-in to what I do because it opens up that whole conversation around health. And people can tell when you start using the product and you can talk about the incredible impact that it's having on your skin and they're going to ask about it. You could say, well, I've been with this company for me, it's like 15 years or 16 years, and I get to share about how excited I am about the nutrients that I've been taking because they're all, you know, plant-based, real food. And now they've constructed a skincare product equivalently, you know, supportive of, from a health perspective, of the skin, which is our largest organ. So now not only am I helping my internal organs with all these tremendous, so some people don't even ask about the skincare because it gave me a lead-in. But it's the idea that you're constantly out there being in the presentation mode, and youth gives us a great opportunity, a lot easier, I think, that just from a pure one-on-one immediate share than it was with, you know, the healthcare products. So anyway, so it's fun, but we need to be leaders. We need to show that example to people. We need to be involved in activities that are really moving our businesses forward every single day of our life and not just trying to get into management mode and all this stuff that, you know, that you might think, well, that's easier. It's not outside my comfort zone. I don't care. You know, this business is about busting down comfort zones and not even acknowledging they exist. It's about really feeling confident and comfortable about moving forward with people, no matter what the circumstances are, because you're in a share mode, a constant share mode. How do I support this person being better, right? So that's where we need to commit to. And so just dedicating time to Manatech, if you find yourself, why is my business stifled, start dedicating time from a perspective of evaluating the activities that you're involved in. What are those specific activities that I'm doing? Because it's the activity trap. We get involved in busy trap instead of doing productive activities. And it's just putting some dedicated time into analyzing this. Now, the way that Peter talked about it in his book, and of course he's talking about management, so it has to do with managers across the board at every industry. His book isn't directed at network marketing per se, but it's directed at leadership and executive management everywhere in the world. So CEOs of companies are reading the John Maxwell books. So we're going to look at it from that perspective. He says people who manage themselves poorly typically have one or more of these 3 items happening. So evaluate these and see if some of this doesn't apply to you in your life. Okay, so if you're managing yourself poorly, one of these 3 items typically is happening. Number 1, you're undermining your uniqueness by doing what others want them to do. In other words, what you're doing is you become more of a people pleaser. You're allowing other people to control your life. You're giving away control of your life to please other people. Or to make other people, you know, like, well, that's the same thing, making other people like you or getting other people to like you, instead of making some tough decisions, which may not be something other people want to hear, but it's about your life. Your time is your life. It's not somebody else's. Your decisions are your decisions. When we start making decisions based on other people controlling us, trust me, they're not going to have your best interest in mind every step of the way. So you need to start evaluating, where am I giving away control of my life over what I'm doing? And he, a quote he brought up was from Carl Sandburg, was very impactful as well. You can, some of you might even care to put this, if this is a big issue for you, this might be one of those quotes you put on your screen, on your computer screen, or you type up and put it above your desk, or you put it on your dream board to get rid of this, right? Now, this doesn't happen. Time is the most valuable coin in your life. You and you alone will determine how that coin will be spent. Be careful that you do not let other people spend it for you. Because how many people draw on your time every day? And you could start looking at that and say, okay, each day of my life, what am I doing today that other people are drawing on my time? I am not suggesting that you abandon a family or a spouse. I'm just suggesting you evaluate each activity based on what it is and what kind of success that you can determine will come from that in terms of building your Manatech business. If you're serious about your business, if you're playing at it, then don't build expectations around it. But if you're serious about building your Manatech business, which I am, I'm so serious, and it's not just, it's serious for a lot of reasons. This is why you need to have your why really clear, because if you say, I'm serious about my business, I'm going to go, why? Why are you serious about your business? If you don't know your why, you'll never be serious about your business. It's a joke. You're lying to yourself. So get the why down. Why am I doing it? Because I want to help children. Well, you know what? That's not big enough. And you can say, wow, hey, saving children's lives isn't big enough. I said, no, because it's just a generality. It's a meandering generality. You're helping children today just by buying the product. So your why is satisfied. So why would you work any harder? Because every time you buy the product, you're helping a child. So what is it about you specifically that you'd like to accomplish that's meaningful to you, meaningful enough to get you up and out every day, talking to 5-10 new people every day? What is meaningful enough to do that? So get the why really clear in your head, why you're in this, so that you can be serious about your business. And what is it going to create? For me, it's gigantic because it has to do with, I make other commitments. I drive myself because I know that if I don't, I can fall into management mode. I enjoy the things I do in Manatech, everything from A to Z. All of it is great to me because I love contribution. But the concept of building my business and moving it forward is absolutely crucial because, first of all, you know, I make commitments on the outside of monetary commitments, and a lot of you know my current one for this year is building churches in Brazil. And I didn't make that commitment out of air. I made it because I felt led by my heart to do it. I felt God working through me to make that commitment because we're in desperate need of building those churches. And I've been in the mission field down there for 5 years, 6 years now. So it was important to me. But the other concept was, is I'm capable of producing that income. So I need my now I need to show up. It allowed me to now have something out there as a goal, as a directive, as a vision for my life that was going to be a what I call a pull goal. It's pulling me towards that instead of pushing me, pulling me, because it's so attractive to me that I'm going to do it no matter what. So that's the kind of thing that you want to have. So you want to, because that helps you when you have that kind of goal, what does it help you do? It helps you knock out of place these other activities that seem to want to creep into your life because you got your pull goal going this direction, and it's going to be have clarity. Remember clarity? We can talk about Tony Jerry, how critical clarity was his number one. Got to have clarity up front. You got to be really clear up front because without that, again, other people will pull away your time, and they're going to take away from you from doing what's unique to you in your capacity to create great results. So get that clarity down about your why, the clarity about you, and don't give control of your life away to other people. So you want to make sure that you look around and say, what expectations are others putting on you? Because a lot of times people will come around you, especially naysayers. You know, it's incredible how we allow people. Somebody will call me up and say, Mary Jo, this is what this person said. I said, well, what did you say in response? He says, I didn't know what to say, and I just kind of said, okay, and I walked away, and I went, wow, let's work on that. So having the ability to respond to people's objections or their negativity is a powerful tool in your tool chest. It's a powerful skill to develop. If you don't have that one, dedicate time to do that because that'll get you off of square one. You're going to get stuck just with that one issue. And so if you have that issue, conquer it. It's because you don't want to buy into what other people are saying about you or about network marketing or your past or your future. There are a lot of naysayers out there. And each one of us can agree to that because we come across them all the time. So you want to protect yourself from them, so you need to build the skills necessary to do that. And that means building your own belief system, which I had to do. A lot of people think that every presidential that came out of the box was so gifted that all of a sudden they raced right to presidential. It sure wasn't true about me, and I bet there are other presidentials on this call that will say the same thing. I had huge belief gaps. I mean, one of my belief gaps was network marketing. I looked around and I said, oh, yeah, yeah, I've got all these degrees and this takes no degrees. There are eighth grade educated people out there that are getting the presidential. So what am I doing in this mix? I somehow started devaluing network marketing because of that. Well, how crazy was that? Then I really taught myself about the model, the economics of the model, what it allowed people to do. And one of the most beautiful aspects of this model that always, always grabs my heart is the fact that it's equal opportunity. And that's where I live in equal opportunity. I love the fact that I can take any person with any upbringing, with any background, and help them be successful in network marketing. As long as they're willing to go through the personal growth, education in terms of formal education means nothing. And that's a beautiful thing because a lot of people don't have equal opportunities any other place in their life. So what a great model this is. So I love it for that perspective. But I had to learn that. I had to appreciate that. I had to develop that appreciation for it. And so some of you are stuck on that element. Then go. What do you do if you're stuck on some of these things? And this is what's allowing other people to control you. You're giving your control away because you're stuck on some of these things. Then you go get help. Everybody has an upline or you have a mentor that you use that you get information from. Work with that mentor to overcome those roadblocks you have because you're not going anywhere when you allow these roadblocks to stay in your life. And sometimes some of you don't even see that you have them, but it takes somebody just to ask a few questions of you and all of a sudden they come up. When you can't, here's a great suggestion for you. When you feel awkward responding to an objection, you have a roadblock. So solve it. And don't go one more day, 24 more hours, of giving away control of your life to other people. And you're doing that by allowing roadblocks to stop you. Okay? Is that clear? This is a powerful, powerful concept for you. Because you're going to lose control over your time when you allow roadblocks to keep you stuck. All right, so don't allow other people to put expectations on your time. Your time, your uniqueness is something you want to value and honor it. And so don't do what other people want you to do, what you do best. Don't let other people grab your time and steal your time. Number two, here's another thing that people do who are typically bad at managing themselves. They ruin their effectiveness by doing unimportant things. And this is so true, too. Henry David Thoreau wrote, it is not enough to be busy. How many of you are busy doing Manatech? A lot of you on this call. Some of you aren't busy doing Manatech at all, and you keep wondering, why am I not successful? Well, because maybe look at your own personal activities. But the idea is it's not enough to be busy, to say you're doing Manatech. The question there is, what are we busy about? The question is, what are we busy about, right? So we need to look at that. What are we busy about? How do you determine if something is worthy of your time, attention, or effort? Well, what Maxwell does is he goes through an evaluation process, a three-step process, which you can also do. You can look at the time that you're dedicating. You can talk about, you know, evaluating success tracker, all that, you know, look at all the activities you're involved in that make up your Manatech day. And this is in the time you're dedicating to do Manatech. And look at each one of the tasks that you're doing. Rate the task in terms of importance. He has five different points he gives. Then secondly, he says decide the task's urgency regarding when it must be done. Now, you can notice in his step two, I'm giving you this right out of his book. He talks about it has to be done this month, next quarter, end of year. This really doesn't apply much to our Manatech business. It's more, it looks like an executive of a major corporation, right, because they have projects based on time frames that they're working on. For us, it might look more like this task must be done. It must be done today, this month, I mean this week, this month, this, you know, this business, I mean this business period or this quarter. That might, maybe those are the five that you separated out in, for Manatech purposes, because that'll be more meaningful to you. What has to get done today? What has to get done this week? What needs to get done this month or this business period? You go either one. What needs to get done this quarter? You follow? So that year five might be different for Manatech, and I'm suggesting that you shift that for purpose of Manatech. And then step three is multiply the number you get out of step one analysis to step two. And the items with the highest score get the A rating and top priority. So anything that's an A, that is on your calendar. That's blatantly right there. It's a to-do, must get done, all those kind of things. You want to make sure B's are secondary and C's are tertiary. So you all of a sudden start evaluating every day your activities. You're looking at my activities for this week or for today. Evaluate how critical they are, and work on those most important for the success of your business. Because how many times do we spend on our day, this is a classic event for Manatechers, is that we'll look at our day and we'll go, oh, well, you know, I need to build a new business presentation. So you'll spend a couple hours here and a couple hours in the afternoon, and you'll eat up all of your prospecting time. Now, that can't be right. And you go, well, Mary Jo, if I don't have a good business presentation, then I'm not going to be very effective at prospecting. I said, I agree with that. But you should always have a commitment in your daily schedule for prospecting. If you're not contacting at least, you know, whatever your commitment can be, whether it's one or three or five, I suggest, I've got one gal now doing 10 a day, 10 new contacts every single day. She's totally all in on 10 new contacts every day. And why is that important for her? It's important for her because she's developing an expertise in sharing the story and in opening herself up to people and getting to know people. And she just knows that this is her start to being better, because the more she forces herself to do it, the more comfortable she's going to get and the better she's going to get at the languaging she's using to share with these people. So the idea is that how many years, but building a business presentation is a great concept, but don't ever stop doing the most important activity that we have in Manatech, which is sharing with others. Everybody agree? Top priority, number one. You want to be effective in Manatech? You better understand that going out prospecting is your number one activity. It's your number one activity in terms of being successful in Manatech is going out and prospecting. Now, there are other important ones as well, but that's number one. There's nothing that's more important than, you know, making new contacts. Because without new contacts, you don't have new blood, you don't have new team members, you don't have new business builders, and thus you have no new leverage in your business. So the idea is that that's what we want to be putting our time into, making sure that we're not robbing our time. So you start doing, so see what would happen is prospecting is absolutely critical, right? It's a critical activity, and you rank it that way. Now, some of you might have a problem with ranking how critical activities are, and I'm going to suggest if you have a problem with evaluating that, talk to your upline. Talk to somebody above you. Talk to somebody who's been effective. Talk to people who have been successful in Manatech. One of the problems that some of us do is we reach out to people who might be upline to us, but they're not very successful at all, and we rely on their judgment, and I'm going to suggest that upline somewhere in your organization is a presidential director or somebody that's really made it. And perhaps you go a little bit further to find that person that you can trust their judgment because you believe they know what it takes to make this business work. So you can start utilizing good advice from people, but make sure you get your evaluation down of the activities you're doing so that you stop rationalizing your day away. Every day, new contacts. Every day. So, and the other aspect he put in his book, that nothing should be today, because he's suggesting now this is again corporate America, you don't want to be a reactive, you want to be proactive. Everybody get that? The distinction there is huge. We don't want to run our life reacting to crises. We want to run our life being proactive about our everyday activity. We want to be choosing everyday activity instead of being forced into positioning with people. So if you look at your lifestyle and you say, my lifestyle is just constantly reacting to crises, you got to say, evaluate what's creating that in your life. And most of the times, the finger points back at you. And you can go, well, Mary Jo, but it's other people in my life. I go, but you're creating the reactionary response to crises. Do things happen in our lives that we choose to respond to? Correct. But how are we choosing to respond? And that's another question. Are we getting into the drama, or are we staying out of the drama? And that's huge, because there's plenty of drama in this world that surrounds us. Do you ever meet those people that are drama people? They're everywhere. We all have them in our organization. And they get caught up in all the activities of their stepdaughters or their children or their this or their that, and they're just, it's constantly on and on and on, and you just, when you get them on the phone, it's like, okay, so when can I get down to the brass tacks? They can't see through all of the fog that they have in their life, because the fog just eats them up, because they choose to allow the fog to eat them up. I believe everybody has equal amount of issues going on around them. It's just whether you choose to be involved in them or not. When I have somebody in my life who's drama, and trust me, I have a stepdaughter that's supremely drama, I stay out of it. I don't love her any less. It's just I don't have the time or energy. And it's such a waste of my time. So I pick and choose my interactions with her on a very careful basis so that I don't get caught up in the drama, right? So we need to look at that and evaluate. And we go, oh, but it's an obligation. She's your daughter. She's your... I go, not. This is a person that's 30 years old, and she's not my responsibility. I love my grandkids, but I'm not going into drama. I'm not stepping into that world because it's too much of a headache. And it's, some people don't know any better. They're stuck, and you could have all the conversations in the world. Stay away from it. Robs you of time, robs you of breath, robs you of life. You are in control of your life. So take charge of it and make decisions accordingly. Third, what else do we do, okay? We reduce our potential by doing things without coaching or training. This is huge. This is something that we, you know, across the board, just like I said earlier, you're out there, people say, well, is this network marketing? And you shrivel up like a little. If you are on this call today and somebody who asks you if this is network marketing and you shrink, you are right here on third. You're reducing your potential by doing things without coaching or training. Because I know there's an upline. There are 20 of them upline for you who can give you and help you with that kind of response. And it's not just learning the response. Understand this? It might start out with having a patented response. And I have a great one that I've used for ages. But it's not just about the response. It's about building in you the belief system. Because if you don't believe in the model, I dare say you're not going to be successful. This is an incredible model. It's the number one business model creating the most millionaires out of any other business model on the face of the earth. There are $160 billion worth of products being sold through network marketing today in the world. So you're going to tell me it's a scam? when $160 billion is being sold through this model. This is incredible what this model is about. And it's, I already talked about the equal opportunity. I talked about, you know, for me, it's about Christian values. I love the model. I think it supersedes any other business model because it's not about stepping on people climbing a corporate ladder. You are only as successful as you help others be successful. So it's all about my Christian values, which is I want to contribute in other people's lives. And if I can help them be ultimately the best successful Manitecker they can be, my success flows naturally. So I can totally focus on others, not Mary Jo, but focus on others. And that's a beautiful part of this model. But I can go on and on and on. But if you don't have that belief in your heart, you're going to get stuck. And that's why you need to stop limiting yourself by thinking you're a know-it-all or thinking that you have the answers or think you want to find coaching or trainings out there. Every day of your life, you want to be involved in something that's growing you as a person, that's increasing your potential to be the best networker that you can be. So because the value here, as he said in his book, he said, anything worth doing is worth doing better. That's why people, you can say, Mary Jo's been in network marketing. I mean, I am not one of these people that have bounced around. Manitech's the only networking company I've ever been involved in, and many of you know my story. I didn't choose it, really. It was God-chosen. My dad had a phenomenal result on the products, and 6 months later, I'm going, really? Am I supposed to be doing this instead of my six-figure income I'm getting over here and here? And I mean, I'm going to give up on my entire legal career. I'm going to walk away from... I mean, none of that made sense to me, but it made sense because through prayer and direction, that's where I was sent to do. So I chose another path, right? So that was my journey. But as I got into it, what do I have to do? If I'm going to be doing it, I need to do what? I can't just tap into my past. I need to look at other people. I need to start growing from other people. I needed to learn. I started buying books. I got John Kalinge's book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in Network Marketing. I think it was like the best thing I did was and go to coaching seminars and classes and trainings. I went to my uplines. I drove to San Antonio once a month to go to her monthly training she had at her house because she was located in San Antonio. And so it's a four-hour drive every Saturday. One Saturday a month, I'd drive down there and come for spend 5-6 hours and then come back home. I mean, it was just a commitment of I'm going to do what it takes to understand this business as best I can because I don't care how much education I have. This is a whole nother business. And that's the dedication. And where's my dedication today? I continuously read books, learn from people. I'm going to the Network Marketing Association Network Marketing Professional Conference coming up next week, not this weekend, next weekend. I constantly am humbling myself in front of others to learn more and be better at what I do. And that's what each of us need to do is grab onto that journey, be a part of that journey. Because anything worth doing is worth doing better. And there are people out there that can teach me things. They could be half my age. Sarah Robbins, half my age, she can teach me something. It's not about how old I am. It's not about my education, how many degrees, how intelligent, none of that. It's about this is a business that we all can learn about every day. So, and we are learning more about millennials. I can't wait. I just did a training about millennials last week that I thought was phenomenal. So I can't wait to get more involved in that and then share it with you guys. It's awesome just to keep growing and learning because this business transforms itself all the time. People who have been involved in network marketing 25 years ago will tell you that today it's a totally different duck, right? It looks like a totally different duck. We're totally different. It's if you try to do network marketing like you did 25 years ago, it won't work. If you try to do it like I used to do it when I started in Manitech and stood in front of people and put up the Science Magazine poster board and spoke for an hour, hour and a half, that won't work today. The attention span of the average person, we are an information society. We get bombarded every day with millions of bits of data. We got to be short and quick and sweet to the point. There isn't this. People don't have the attention. They don't have the time to dedicate to that. So we're living in a different arena today. So we need to grow and keep evolve. We need to keep changing as well. So important for us to be involved in training, coaching, mentoring, because it can make a huge difference on our productivity levels. So if you aren't being coached today, if you aren't getting training today, find it. I know some of you are on my Monday calls because you go, Mary Jo, that's why we're on your Monday calls. And I said, that's great, because you get a piece of that. But every piece I give you, I don't know if it's the piece you need to hear. So sometimes when you get stuck on something, find the help that's going to get you over the hump, because that's what you need to be the best you can be. And the final quote, I love Zig Ziglar's quote he put in there. He said, the only thing worse than training employees, and put Manitechers in there, the only thing worse than training your Manitech associates and losing them is not training them and keeping them. I think that's awesome. Really, that's an awesome, just apply that to your own team. The only thing worse than training your current associates and losing them is not training them and keeping them. Then you got a whole bunch of people who don't know what to do, right? Okay, and then I gave you a last quote at the bottom, which is great. He says, when you have a strong sense of purpose, enjoy life, and possess an awareness of how brief life really is, the days always seem too short. In other words, the sun sets too fast every day because you have a strong sense of purpose, enjoy life, and possess an awareness how brief life really is. That's why you have to manage yourself effectively. Everything you do in your career, in your personal life, and in your leadership depends on it. That's a lesson I hope you learn earlier rather than later. That's a great from our good buddy John Maxwell. Hope you enjoyed the call today, people. Do what you need to do. A lot of great food in here. For the food for thought, what are you going to do differently walking away from this call? That's a question only you can answer. But John just always continuously always gives me great fodder to train from because he has such great information. So thanks, everybody. Any last-minute comments, questions? All right, everybody go out there and make it happen. First week of a new business period. We got 4 weeks in this business period. Let's create some awesome results. Start today. Evaluate those activities in your life. Are they critical? Are they timely for you? Make sure you're doing what it takes. If you need advice, find it. And everybody needs, not if. Everybody needs to be coached. In fact, one of the things somebody told me, they said, Mary Jo, you should never get coached by somebody that's not being coached. And I went, wow, that's a great concept, right? So if you're not in a mastermind or you're not getting coaching or you're not reaching out for more coaching, then you shouldn't be a coach yourself because this is a business about continuous growth, and we all need to be in that green and growing arena. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week, next Monday again. Bye-bye.